Amen. Patsy, I could listen to you sing all day long.
Amen.
Now, you might not have as much of a voice for it, but I could listen to it, and it is, praise God. I know you tell me that every time. You say, it's this. It's not my voice. And we appreciate you so very much. This week I've been thinking about learning things. When is the last time you took a class or spoke to an expert or watched a video or read a book that taught you something, that you learned something? Learning new things is really, really good for us. It helps all kinds of health. It helps our mental health because we feel stronger and more assured and confident, and it helps our social health because now we get to learn things. Maybe you even went to the class, but even if you didn't go to the class, you now have something to talk about with other people to feel more confident. It helps your brain health because all these neurons in your brain open up when you learn new things, and they move and they give you brain health, which helps prevent memory loss and dementia in older age as well. You're really working your brain. And it also even can help with physical health because you're standing taller, your heart is beating stronger, you feel good, and you get all of that from learning new things. But there's a few things that have to happen. First of all, you have to seek out that knowledge. It's rare that you just accidentally land inside a class or accidentally read a book. You have to seek it out. And once you seek it out, you have to step up and learn it. It doesn't do any good to keep the book on your coffee table or your nightstand. It doesn't do any good to play the video when you're not paying attention. You've got to seek it out, and you've got to step up. And then, once you learn something new and you've got all those health advantages, what good does it do you if you don't use it? None, right? You lose it. Remember that saying, use it or lose it, and that's what happens. This week, I learned something new, and I always learn when I'm working on sharing a sermon and I research the scripture and I learn about all kinds of great things. And one of the things I learned this week was actually sent to me by Matilda. She sent me this great video that was a news story from PBS. And the news story was about Christian churches today. What's going on with the Christian church in America? And the first thing they did was talk with a political scientist, a man who had written a book and studied this. And the first thing that he talked about was there is a smaller number of people who affiliate themselves as Christians than have ever been before in the United States. And then of that smaller number, there's an even smaller number that actually attend church. And the reporter asked him, why do you think that is? He said one of the things he learned about in his research is people as a whole, Americans, have lost confidence and trust in institutions. People don't trust the bank anymore. They don't trust the media. They don't trust the government. They've just lost this trust. And one of those things, also an institution, is the church. So they've lost trust. And then the reporter went around in one area, it was in Illinois, and went around and filmed worship services and interviewed people in several different churches. Now, these were all what we would call mainline denominations, the Presbyterians, the Baptists, the Methodists. They didn't get to disciples, but that's their loss. So they were going through all these different denominations, and they were interviewing ministers and members of congregations. And the first church that they went to was this gorgeous church that was founded in the 1800s. I mean, this church was big. It was, the sanctuary was glorious. They showed the minister preaching a sermon, and then they showed the congregation, and it was almost empty. And the members of the congregation were not engaged. They weren't singing. They didn't seem to be praying. They all seemed to be much older, like well beyond retirement age. And they were there in their congregation. And the minister there said, "It's just a simple fact. I've done so many funerals, a lot more funerals than I have done baptisms, and joined new members. And this is what happens." And that church was closing next month. The next church he went to had a similar congregation, maybe a few more people, and somewhat of a similar worship pattern. But that church, every member practically was involved in service. That church had members going out, and they were doing things as a part of a group. They didn't have enough people to be a group, but they had joined food banks, and they had joined soup kitchens, and they had joined backpack programs for kids, and they were out there working. And that's what those children did. I mean, those members did. So the church wasn't growing, but it was giving. The final church they went to had an active congregation. They had a congregation that was diverse. The congregation had old and young and men and women and all races and all genders. And that congregation was growing. And they interviewed members of that congregation, and they interviewed the minister. And the members of the congregation said that they came to that church. They drove long past other churches. One couple drove 45 minutes to get to this church because this was a place where they felt welcome, where the people were accepting and friendly. This was a church that didn't insist that everyone follow a certain doctrine or insist that they have a political point of view or insist that they conform to certain other areas. Nothing. This was a church that welcomed people to worship in Christ. The minister said there that they have a philosophy: open heart, open mind, open doors. And that was the church that was growing. And that made me feel really good. Because I can look around today, and I can look around next week, and I can say, we have that here. We're doing that. We are positioning ourselves right now to grow, to take what we have and to move it forward. We can't just go out and work. We can't just sit in the pew, but if we welcome, if we work, if we sit in the pew, if we do all those things, it's looking good. What's done in that church is they have stepped up. They've stepped up. They're doing work. And that's what we have done here. We have stepped up. And this relates to the scripture because Jairus and the woman also had to step up. Now, when you read this scripture the first time and you're thinking about it, it is a wonderful scripture about trust and faith and healing. You could take this scripture and outline it in your Bible and put a bookmark in it and go to that scripture anytime you doubted your faith or anytime you were praying for healing, and that scripture would be a great comfort. But you would have missed part of it. And the part you might have missed is the action part. Both the woman and Jairus had to step up. They had to believe, and they had to go to Christ. If they had sat at home, none of this would have happened. Even if they believed and sat at home, none of this would have happened. Now, a lot of people, when they read this scripture, I think it's intended almost to have you think that the woman is somehow better than Jairus. And I will say her circumstances were quite desperate. This woman was very sick. She had been sick for years. She was hemorrhaging. She had tried so many things, and none of them had worked. And within the Jewish faith, according to the book of Leviticus, if a woman is hemorrhaging like that, she cannot associate with society. She can't fix food. She can't get a job. She can't touch anyone. And she'd been living ostracized like that for years. But Jairus also had a lot going on. He was a leader within the community and within the synagogue. So if he were to go to Jesus, it was going to really step out for him to show that he was doing something very different than his peers. He was going to Christ. And I have to say, if you have ever experienced or you know someone who has experienced a child who is ill, you will do anything in your power to heal that child. So he was just as desperate as the woman. And they both had to seek and believe and step up. That woman stepped up. She went in through that crowd, and then she stepped in. She touched that robe, and she was healed. And Jesus said to her, "Go in peace, for your faith has made you well." And the same with Jairus. He stepped up, and he wanted Jesus to come, and people even said, "Jesus, don't worry about it. You don't need to come now." But Jairus sure followed him back home, didn't he? He took Jairus and some disciples, and Jairus could have not gone after that, but he went. He went, and Jesus said to that child, "Child, get up." And then he told the parents to feed her, help her get her strength back. So he stepped up. But the next part we want to think about is what happened after that. Do you think that woman just went back to living like she was living, being ostracized, not being able to work, being depressed, acting like she was sick even when she was well? Of course not. And do you think Jairus and his daughter, you think they put his daughter back to bed? No. They fed her, they got her up, they got her active, but guess who else learned? It was Jairus. He would never be the same. He had a place in the community where he could communicate that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. So they stepped up, and then they stepped in. Since January 14th, we have had 27 worship services in this church. We have had 12 different people sharing sermons. We have had more people doing something in this church for the first time than in the last 2 years combined. We've stepped up. We've stepped up. We've made a difference. And as part of all that, we had faith. We sought Jesus. We lived as disciples. We lived sharing our faith. And as part of seeking Jesus, that's what we did first before we sought Pastor Bruce. And we relied on our faith and our trust in God when we invited Pastor Bruce and his family to come visit this church, for them all to come and to meet us and to see how we worshiped in this church and to learn more about them. And then we as a congregation voted to bring Pastor Bruce and his family. We voted to call him to this congregation. And now he's here. Tomorrow's his first day of work. And Sunday is his first time in our pulpit. Now, coming from a background where we have done a lot of things for the first time, we can relate to that. But we can also look back into the fact that all this time when we were stepping up, Pastor Bruce was stepping up too. He was going out in faith, seeking a call for a place where he belonged, where he could minister. And he went out in faith and accepted this call. He has stepped up to this call. And now, next week, he's going to step in. And it's our time also to step in. Now is not the time to go back to the way things used to be. Now is the time to take what we've learned, to use it or lose it. Now is the time to step into bigger roles, more responsibilities, new ideas, new things. This is our time to step in. Because if we could do this much without a minister, think of what we can do with Pastor Bruce. Amen.